Welcome to the program, God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is part two and the final part of a series I started last week about the anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian, anti-Jewish state movement that is spreading through evangelical churches. I believe it's extremely important that the Christian community become aware of this movement, its leaders, its teachings, lest we be tossed about by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Ephesians 4. The anti-Zionist movement is very persuasive. In fact, it probably contains 90% truth. But I believe it contains 10% error, in that it denies many convincing passages about God's role with physical Israel, the Jews, in the last days. Now, by way of review, last week I discussed the situation in Israel, how that when Israel became a nation in 1948, there were about 1 million Arabs living in the historic boundaries of ancient Israel. Today, out of Israel's 8 million population, about 1.5 million Arabs have Israeli citizenship and live within the main part of Israel. In 1948, the UN set aside the Gaza Strip and the West Bank for the Arabs. But in 1967, the Arabs on the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip, along with Egypt, Jordan, Syria, attacked Israel. These Muslim Arabs did not want Israel to exist at all. In response, Israel occupied the West Bank and Gaza. In 2005, Israel withdrew from Gaza, but not from the West Bank. The pro-Palestinian movement wants Israel to stop the occupation and allow Palestinians to create their own state. Supporters of Israel object, saying that the West Bank is the heart of Israel, the land that historically belonged to the Jews. And allowing Arabs to create a country in Israel proper is absurd, especially since Palestinian Muslims see as their mission the complete destruction of Israel. And evidence of this, since Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip, Gaza has become a terrorist state controlled by Hamas. And it has repeatedly fired rockets into Israel along with other terrorist acts. And Hamas is dedicated to ISIL, the new Islamic Caliphate, the empire that Muslims are trying to create in the Middle East. Now, Israel contends that it should at least have possession of its historic lands, which is only 1/650th of the size of the land occupied by Muslim Arabs. Historically, the evangelical church in America has been in support of Israel over the Palestinian claims. For theological reasons, Protestant Christianity sides with the Jewish claim to a homeland. But there is a movement in evangelicalism that is teaching the opposite, that it's wrong for Christians in America to support Israel. And this movement is funded and supported by Palestinian organizations that are trying to drive a wedge between the evangelical church and Israel. Not only do they want to win on the battlefield, but they want to win the ideological war. They want to undermine the moral authority of Israel. And they know America's support for Israel has been driven by the evangelical church in America. And their goal is not to get evangelical Christians to hate Israel, but to create enough doubt so that the religious right becomes neutral, so that the religious right loses its enthusiasm for the state of Israel. I ended the program last week by listing some of the convincing arguments being spread by the anti-Zionist movement. And you know what I mean by anti-Zionist. Zionism is a belief that the Jews should establish and return to their homeland. Now, these arguments, I like to divide into two categories. First, the feel-good, compassion argument for the Palestinians. That's for your average evangelical. Second, the serious prophetic interpretation arguments for the theologians, pastors, Christian leaders. First, the compassion argument. It appeals to evangelicals of the millennial generation because that generation has been taught to couch every belief and value through compassion. That's a new morality. If you're compassionate, you are right. But the real foundation for ethics should be the rightness or wrongness of a position, because compassion by itself is valueless. One could be compassionate for the devil and therefore support evil. Now, the argument is that Palestinian Arabs are victims of Israeli oppression. The Palestinians are the underdog against an all-powerful Israel. And we should always support the underdog. And Israel is creating an apartheid state where it's separating people according to race and religion. And we all assume that it's wrong to do that in today's world of moral neutrality. Furthermore, Christians should love their neighbors, and their neighbors include the Palestinians. Never let your eschatology, your doctrine of the last days, determine how you treat others. There is also a secular dimension to the anti-Zionist movement. The argument is that religious dogma from prophetic revelation is dangerous. Look at how the Muslims believe the Quran is inspired of God. And so they drive planes into buildings. And they claim they need to create a theocracy, a caliphate over the entire world. And they kill in the name of God. Therefore, it's easy to conclude that any truth that is derived from what is considered revelation is irrational. And common sense, human rights, as delineated by the UN, are a much better guide for mankind than voices from God. Therefore, the Jews' claim to the land based on the Bible is dangerous, as is every action or policy based upon Scripture. Look at the example of the Crusades in the Middle Ages. So therefore, Christians ought not to support Israel's claim to the land, but treat the Jews like every other group. Now, you can see how this argument convinces many people, because the assumption is that there is no absolute truth from God. And we can't trust revelation purporting to be from God, because every nut justifies their aggression by some word from God. But Christians do believe that there are truths from God, and there are lies from Satan. And at the very least, the authority of the UN is no greater than the authority of the Bible. And the Bible is different from other supposed revelations. But even without the Bible, the secularists, in support of Zionism, can argue that there's nothing immorally wrong about a historic people having a homeland of their own. But you see, from a secular point of view, a view that discounts God and revealed truth, evangelical support for Israel is deemed irrational and dangerous. Now, going further, anti-Zionists argue that the problems in the Middle East all stem from the Jews and Israel wanting land. The Jews are causing the problems. Just like the political left in America has always said that Israel is the fault for the war on terror. And since evangelical Christians have supported the formation of Israel, not only are the Jews the problem with this world, but also the evangelical Christians. These anti-Zionists say that evangelicals in the U.S. are supporting Jewish imperialism because of a strange and weird interpretation of prophecy. The church is adding gasoline on the fire. It's not the Arabs. It's not the Islamists. So Christian Zionism is a heresy that is conclusively refuted by the New Testament. So this is the essence of Palestinian liberation theology. And of course, in these documentaries, they create a false caricature of evangelical support for Israel with alleged quotes that evangelicals have said that Palestinians need to move out so the Jews can move in and Christ can return. As if evangelicals have said Palestinians are preventing the return of Christ. I don't know of any evangelicals who hold to that position. From a bird's eye view, what I think is happening here is the evangelical left is adopting old liberation theology, which the mainline liberal denominations have taught for years. And this is the kind of trend one would expect to see. Left-leaning evangelical groups have abandoned the fundamentals of the faith. They've abandoned doctrine for worship experience. And they have begun to support gay rights, abortion, the leftist agenda. And so they have solidarity with these liberal groups. And discovering liberal foreign policy, they find that they like that also. They're of the same spirit. And as evangelical churches in America abandon biblical Christianity, it's no surprise that the support for Israel begins to disappear. Now, let me cover the deeper theological arguments in the anti-Zionist movement. These are the arguments used to pull over evangelicals who want to be more biblical. The anti-Zionists say that the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 was not to the physical seed of Abraham, but to the spiritual seed of Abraham. The promise of the land in Genesis 13 was not to be taken literally as the land of Palestine, but it was only a type of heaven itself. Abraham was really looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. One speaker in the documentary stated that Genesis 12 is an ethical vision. Biblical principles of human rights come first. It's not a license to steal other people's land. And these anti-Zionists believe that the pro-Israel evangelicals wrongly believe in two covenants. One for Israel, a physical covenant, and one for the church. And that's the heart of dispensational theology. These anti-Zionists revert to a more covenantal theology, that there's only one covenant with the people of God, and that covenant is now a spiritual covenant. There is only one group, the church, and God has broken down the middle wall of partition to make both groups into one. Therefore, the Jews need to come into the spiritual church, not into the physical land of Israel. Dispensationalists would call this replacement theology, where the church replaces Israel, but the anti-Zionists like to call it one covenant theology. And by the way, the one covenant theology is in line with Catholic theology that teaches that the Roman Catholic Church replaces Israel, and so historically Roman Catholicism has not supported Zionism. Let's now look at the traditional pro-Israel theology, that God has a plan for the Jews. You know most of the details. In Genesis 12, God gives the land to the descendants of Abraham. All who bless Abraham's seed will be blessed. Those who curse Abraham's seed will be cursed. And God promises to Abraham the land of Israel. And we know the typical slogan that the Jews are the only people with a land deed from God. But the Jews have been displaced off the land as part of God's punishment, Deuteronomy 28:64. The prophecy is that the Jews will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Luke 21. Then the fig tree, the symbol of Israel, will again blossom. Matthew 24. And in Ezekiel 11, God says, I will gather Israel from the peoples and assemble Israel out of the countries among which Israel has been scattered, and I will give them the land of Israel. Now, as far as this argument of Israel being racist and promoting apartheid in the creation of a Jewish state, that is humanist thinking that religion and values don't matter, as if a country needs to accept a population of Islamists. 89% of Palestinians believe Sharia law should be the law of the land. And to unite your country with people with an Islamic view of the world would be absolute foolishness. It would be like America opening its doors to 300 million communists. Countries and people have values that they need to protect. And there is certain separation that is good and certain separation that's evil. And furthermore, the anti-Zionist pro-Palestinian movement fails to point out that the Palestinian Muslims persecute Christians in Gaza and the West Bank. Christians have religious freedom in the land of Israel, but they fear for their lives in the Palestinian territories. so that the Christian population in Palestine has dropped down to something like 3%. The anti-Zionist movement is naive concerning the ways of Islam. But now concerning the dispensational theology in evangelicalism, that two-covenant theology that appears outwardly to have promoted evangelical support for Israel, there are some problems in dispensational theology. Personally, I am not in total agreement with all of dispensationalism or two-covenant theology. I believe that the Gentile believers are the sons of Abraham by faith. I believe that the church is the true Israel of God. But that does not mean I do not support physical Israel, the Jews. In other words, one can lean toward a covenant theology and still support Israel. Because even though one believes all believers are Israel, to whom belongs the covenants and the promises, there are still promises in Scripture that at the end of the age, God will still work again with physical Israel to save more physical descendants of Abraham. So one can appreciate aspects of covenant theology and still support Israel. Paul implies in Romans chapter 11 that the Gentiles are now grafted into the body, and a partial hardening has happened to Israel, but the day will come when the fullness of the Gentiles will come in and God will deliver the Jews. In Revelation chapter 7, we read about 144,000 Jews who are to be saved in the coming apocalypse. In Revelation chapter 11 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read about a coming temple of God and two prophets to come who will speak in Jerusalem. To be honest with Scripture, you can't very easily spiritualize these passages. Evangelicals, regardless of their theological bent, have to have enough humility to admit that the Scriptures favor a role for physical Israel in the last days. And to be against Israel returning to the land places one in the category of the people of Psalm 83, those who say, "Come, let us wipe out the Jews as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more." To be against Israel places one in the category of those who opposed the Jews in the 5th century BC when the Jews were returning from Babylon. Ezra 5, Nehemiah chapter 2, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, Geshem the Arab official, tried to stop the Jews from coming back and rebuilding their homeland. Why? Because they had occupied the land in the Jews' absence. You have to wonder what spirit you're of if you support the Palestinian cause against the nation of Israel. Now, as a Christian, you can still care for the Palestinians and lobby that they get a homeland back in the Arab states. There are some sound moral and biblical reasons to favor a homeland for the Jews. You know, I believe one of the reasons why the anti-Zionist movement is making inroads into the evangelical community is because evangelical support for Israel has often been on a shallow theological foundation. And whenever Christians have a misemphasis on a theological point, Satan can always get a foothold. I've always felt that the Christian community could use some adjustment on its support of Israel. Not to throw off support for Israel, but to be more wise in its approach. For example, the creator of this pro-Palestinian film, With God on Our Side, Porter Speakman Jr., he shared how he was raised in a Christian home. His father was a pastor. And in church, he heard all of these good things about the Jews. And then he goes over to Israel and he starts hearing the Palestinian side of the argument. And it threw him into doubt. So he comes back to the United States and makes this documentary in order to tell other naive evangelicals like himself what's really happening in Israel. And as Speakman is sharing this story, it occurred to me that if all you do is listen to some evangelical cheerleaders for Israel, you might think that the Jews are saints. So that when you come to know the truth, your whole world might come crashing down. Years ago, a coworker told me a terrible story about a young lady in her church, a new believer who was urged to go on a trip to Israel. And she thought, from Bible stories that she had heard, that she was going to a wonderful spiritual place, a land that's the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And there she would meet the chosen people of God. When she got there, she found that Israel was a hellhole. She left the faith and committed suicide. Now, granted, that young lady had emotional problems. But I wonder what Christians think of Jews and of Israel from what they've been taught in churches. That present-day Jews are a special holy people with a special inroad to God? That's never been my understanding, and I hope it's not yours. We know that the Jews are unsaved. They're unregenerate. They're natural men. They're Pharisees. They're Sadducees. But God has brought them back to the land despite themselves. Here is the biblical way to understand Jews today. Romans 11:28. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. One must maintain a dual attitude toward the Jews, as is described in Romans 11:28. Don't be under any false illusions. As the Apostle John writes, the synagogues of the Jews are the synagogues of Satan. They say they are Jews, but they are not, Revelation 3:9. The Jews who are of the flesh will put you and me out of the synagogues. They will kill us thinking that they're offering service to God, John 16. And Orthodox Judaism is nasty, man-made, self-righteous, Pharisaical religion. They cry out in their parades, death to Arabs, just like the Arabs cry out in their parades, death to the Jews. But in Romans 11:28, Paul says the Jews are still to be beloved for the sake of the fathers. And Paul says in that text, from the standpoint of God's choice. So there is still some election left for the physical Jews, even though we may not understand how that works into our theology. But the problem is that many evangelical leaders have not taught both sides of the coin. They have emphasized that the Jews are beloved, but have forgotten the part that from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies. They are really not the true Israel until they receive Jesus as their Messiah. And because of this neglect or failure to teach a balanced theology, these pro-Palestinian charlatans have gotten a foothold in the evangelical community. Especially because many pro-Israeli evangelical leaders have said and done many stupid things, which makes thinking Christians question all support for Israel. Let me give you an example. Let's say you believe in the Trinity, but you support your doctrine of the Trinity with shallow arguments such as the Trinity is like an egg. The egg has three parts, a shell, a yolk, and a white. In the same way, God is three in one. Or let's say you support your doctrine of Trinity from 1 John 5:7, which is a verse that is not actually in the Bible, was put in the Bible by Erasmus in 1611. So even though your doctrine of the Trinity is true, you don't support it correctly. Therefore, your opponent can easily win people away from your position. So in the same way, if support for Israel is supported by dubious, sensational last-time prophecies or questionable aspects of dispensational theology, then support for Israel can be easily refuted. Support for a homeland for the Jews may still be the right position, but when it's supported on the wrong basis, it's easily refuted. And that's what's being done in these pro-Palestinian films and conferences. They poke holes in all of the misguided support for Israel, the misguided support that's coming from some big-name televangelists. Let's support Israel with a balanced approach. The Jews are coming back into the land by the providence of God, even though we must admit they're coming back in their disobedience to Christ. They will rebuild the temple in disobedience to Christ. And they have a wrong understanding of where the true Zion is found. Nevertheless, let God's providence be done in the Jews pursuing an earthly homeland. and evangelical support for Israel against radical Islam that not only wants to take over the Middle East, but the entire world, has been a great boon for opening up Jewish hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. You can listen to this program again, download it, or listen to other past programs at our website, godandcountryradio.org. I always appreciate your comments and your insights, so shoot me an email. That's at godandcountryradio.org. I always love hearing from you suggestions for topics that should be discussed. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you in the knowledge of His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace that comes through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Save your people. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.